It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
It's 6:08 on a Saturday morning, 64 degrees outside. It is warm this morning. Good Lord, it's warm, very warm today, very warm yesterday afternoon, and very likely very warm this afternoon as well. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener. I'm here to help you be more successful in your landscape, and all you have to do to get all your questions answered is give me a buzz this morning, 404-872-0750. Get in, get your question answered. Ashley Frasca gets to talk to you for just a minute or two, and then you'll be on the air with me, and maybe we'll have something to talk about. What did I do yesterday? I planted my rising sun redbud just before I left to go to Italy. Remember, I've been in Italy for 2 weeks till last Saturday. And so just before I went, we had that remote broadcast up at Johns Creek Pike. And the people at Johns Creek said, boy, we've got a prettiest rising sun redbud. You're really, really going to like this. And I went and looked at it. It was gorgeous. And I'd wanted one and asked them to go look in their inventory to see what they had. And they had one. Boy, it was great. But then I had to leave it unplanted at my house while I was going to Italy. And so my kid that I'd hired to come water some of my plants came and watered it, kept it alive, looked great when I got home. And didn't get the hole dug until yesterday morning. But finally got the hole dug. And then I went through a process I've started doing when I plant trees. I started washing the earth off of the root system. Not one of those things where you just dig a hole and plop it in. But I started washing all that potting soil off of the root system of the tree. I'll tell you why. Research is showing, it has shown for a number of years, but only now is it getting through my thick head that it needs to be done this way. But research shows very clearly that roots don't like to go from one condition, you know, one situation of heavy packed clay into light sandy soil, or vice versa, from sandy soil into heavy packed clay, or from potting soil, growing medium that they have in the nursery, into the clay of your landscape. But the roots just don't like going from one place to another place. They have to adapt themselves to the conditions of the new soil, and that's hard for roots sometimes to do. So the way that you fix that on trees is to wash as much of the soil off the roots as you can. And by soil, I mean the medium they use for the nursery, a big 15-gallon pot that my tree was growing in. And I washed as much as I could off of that. And then I got my shop vac and went out and shop vacked it real good to get all the surface soil down at least an inch or two or three into the root mass of the tree. If I were really, really good, I would have washed every speck of soil off of it, but I didn't have time to do that and didn't feel like doing it. But I got a lot of the surface roots clean. Then I took it up to where the hole was, packed it, put it into the hole, got it turned so it was just right, got the limbs put in just the right direction so it looked nice from where I was standing. And then you take a mixture of your existing soil, the clay that I'd taken out of the hole, and make a mud slurry out of it. And take that mud slurry and sort of pack it into the roots where you wash the medium off the roots. So you pack the slurry in and then backfill the hole with your existing soil. No added amendments, no peat moss, no soil conditioner, anything like that. Because research also shows that trees don't particularly like to have soil conditioner in the hole where they're planted. And then backfill that, slurry it up again with a lot of water, backfill that up to the level of the root, the top root on the tree. Make sure that top root on the tree is right at or just below the soil surface, and then put a little mulch over the top of that. So I planted the tree so that the roots were getting close to bare root. And again, the research is showing that's the best way to plant a tree. You get better survivability from the tree because the roots are less changing. They don't have to go quite the surface roots anyway that were inside the pot. Don't have to go from a completely aerated growing open medium, bark medium that they were growing in, into clay soil. They go from sort of the mudded, slurried stuff that I packed into it from there into the clay soil around it. It's almost the same. So that's how I planted my tree yesterday, and I think that it did a pretty good job because the tree has certainly got all its leaves still on it today. Looks good. Hopefully it will for the next 20 or 30 years. It's a gorgeous tree. If you've not seen the rising sun redbud, it is something to behold. I saw one on Birmingham Highway, I guess, about 3-4 weeks ago now. saw one there when the redbuds had just getting over blooming, but the rising sun has these bright yellow leaves on the tree, and then the purple of the flowers of a redbud were underneath the yellow leaves. Woo! I stopped just to see what it was. I didn't even recognize it. It was so pretty. So I stopped to see what it was and took a picture of it to make sure I knew what the rising sun looks like when the flowers bloom on it. It was great. Great looking tree. Still available, I'm sure, at nurseries around here. Just make sure that when you plant it, do like I do. Wash the dirt off of the roots as best you can. Put it in the hole. Slurry up some soil to put around the roots and get them started. And then be sure you water it during the summertime. This is late to be planting a tree, I know, but it's a pot. Usually potted plants do pretty well planted in the spring, but I have to make sure that I don't let it dry out during the summertime, because if I let it dry out, that's $132, I think it was, dollars for that tree that's down the drain. And Pike, love them to death, but I don't feel like I can legitimately claim that I didn't know what I was doing when I planted the tree and take it back and get my tree replaced. Can't do that on my case. It's 6:13 at News Talk WSB. We go to the phones. First call in line. Why, look at that. It's someone from Griffin, Georgia. Our friend Nicole. Hey, Nicole.
Mr. Reed.
Ms. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning. You're going to have to watch this tree big time all summer and water him, isn't he?
Well, I'll tell you what I did was I have a 5-gallon plastic bucket that I bored a hole in the bottom, a little half-inch drill hole in the bottom of the bucket, and I put it right next to the trunk of the tree and put a hose into it. It'll be permanently there all summer long, connected to the faucet. And whenever I want to water the tree, about every 2 or 3 days, I'll turn the hose on, fill up the 5-gallon bucket, and the water will come out the bottom of that little drill hole that I made and drip, 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 or pour into the soil and keep the root ball moist. So that's how I'm going to water it.
If you go in the older garden, older people,
yeah.
If you... You know, that's what they was doing with the tomato. They say tomato, if they go one day without water, it changed the whole thing. And they were burying a gallon and put some oil and put water in the gallon.
Sure,
so
sure.
They're always moist because the tomato, they like the cold roots, like the tree too, you know.
They like having nice moist roots. And tomatoes, if you monkey around with the moisture in the soil very much and have dry, then wet, then dry, then wet during the summer, tomatoes get that thing we call blossom end rot. And blossom end rot is very, very, very much controlled by or caused by fluctuations in soil moisture.
And don't over add water. Just do it at the base.
Yeah, right. You don't need to water any further than the base of the tree because that's not where the roots are. The roots are right there where I put them in the ground. They haven't gone any, you know, they haven't gone any since yesterday when I planted the tree. So there's no need in putting water anywhere out beyond that because that's not where the roots are growing.
Yeah, those little fine air roots, they don't like the clay. It's like digging in the void.
Right.
Oh, damn.
So I loosen the soil real good. Around it has about 6 feet, I guess, in diameter around the roots, so they'll have a chance to get out, get established, and then continue to grow over the years into the surrounding soil.
So how tall is it? 15?
It's not that tall. It's about 10 feet tall. Eight feet. Oh, 10. Closer to 10, yeah. About 10 feet tall.
I like to talk about pineapple, elephant, and bees.
Pineapples, elephants, and bees.
Yes.
What do they have connected to each other?
In other country, they do a lot of pineapple, and pineapple grow from the ground.
Sure,
okay.
Yeah.
But they have a heck of a time with the elephant because they see the pineapple and they want to go and eat it.
Yeah, of course.
So they put an electric fence around the plot, okay? But they were finding elephant dead because the elephant go with his trunk and got shocked to the point that they were dying.
Okay.
No kidding. They had to find a solution. So they probably came and studied our things here in Georgia or Texas and the extension.
Yeah.
And they find a way, instead of using those electric fans, they find a way, if they cross, they have like a rope, and they put a lot of bees, and the bees open the top, you know, the box.
Right.
And the elephant boy back up. They don't like no bees at all.
They don't like the bees attacking them.
No, and you should see how successful, because they go mostly at night, so they put camera at night, and there was, even the baby elephant, they're just backing up. And because the crop, you know what? They have a crop once a year. That's probably the only money that they can survive with, this country can survive with.
So what you're telling me is that in order to protect my tomatoes from squirrels, I need to have a hive of bees around my tomatoes that will make the squirrels back up and get away from there and not eat my tomatoes.
Yes, but the squirrel come from the sky.
I don't think I'm going to do that, Nicole, but it sounds interesting. If I have a pineapple planted in my garden, and if I have a problem with elephants, first thing I'll do is get a hive of bees.
Yes, I mean, and then they was making money with the honeybees.
You get money from the honey, too. You know. But, you know, in Africa, probably they have the Africanized bees, which are very fierce and very protective of their territory. And so I can understand why an elephant would be particularly sort of scared of those bees, because African bees are way more aggressive and mean and stingy than the Italian and European bees are.
Are they bigger?
Not bigger, they're the same size, but they're just more aggressive. They're territorial. They want to protect their hive at all costs. And if an elephant comes by, they go out and sting it in the eyes and the ears and the eyelids and make the elephant go away. That's what African bees are, you know, bred to do, I guess, for millennia of dealing with elephants. So they
make sure it's very ingenious, the way that they thought about it,
yeah.
You know, and to make everybody happy, everybody... a little food, you know, because elephant needs to eat, too.
Make the honeybee, too. Well, Nicole, that is interesting advice. I will take it under advisement as far as protecting my tomatoes in my garden this year. But if you find some success with it in Griffin, Georgia, you get your hives out there and keep the elephants away from your pineapple.
Just don't get no elephant. Enjoy your day.
Enjoy your day, too. We'll see you soon, Nicole. It's 6:19. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
Tequila there on Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo. Quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Possibility of a stray shower this afternoon, high of 82, low of 63. Tonight, mostly sunny. Tomorrow, high of 80, low of 57. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Joe is out in Marietta, joins us on Lawn and Garden. Morning, Joe.
Morning. How are you, sir?
Doing great. How can I help?
I'm about to lay down or have installed 3,500 square feet of zoysia in my front yard.
Got it.
And trying to pick a variety that would be good looking and overall good for the area.
Yeah.
My wife likes the deep green color of emerald,
yeah.
Old emerald, the old standby, which I like too. But Zeon seems to be the hot and going variety that is a improvement over emerald, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that, or another one, for instance.
I don't mean to pick sides here, but you're right. yeah, you get to chalk one up today, Joe. Zeon or Zenith, either one, the two Z's, do pretty darn well for zoysia grass. Emerald, yes, I know it's deep green and fine-bladed and all that kind of stuff, but it has a little bit more trouble with thatch and a little bit more trouble with disease. And so if you're going to put in a lawn, you might as well avoid problems from the beginning. And I think either Zenith or Zeon, either one would do fine.
That's the reason I'm considering it. The Bermuda is worn out and a pain to take care of for
sure. Yeah, don't go and tell her, by the way, that I said you were right and she was wrong.
I don't dare. I'm going to have to pick somebody that I don't know and blame them.
That's a real good idea.
But in any event, in one area, there's a cherry tree, an old cherry tree that's actually not in good shape, that's right next to where the Zeon would be planted or would be laid.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if I cut that tree down, obviously without taking out the stump, the roots would still be there. Are they going to present a problem for me?
Generally, they won't, per se, they won't sprout or do something like that. What will happen is over time, the roots as they decompose will rob nitrogen from the grass, from the soil. And so it'll be a little more yellow in that spot. So just think about adding a little more fertilizer maybe to that area where the roots and stump and all used to be to supplement the nitrogen that the lawn needs.
That's good. That's good. So if I don't take out the stump, I'm probably okay.
Yeah, I think you're fine. You're fine.
Good deal. Well, I sure appreciate it this morning, and I'm not going to tell anybody, I promise.
All right, Joe. Thanks for calling. We'll see you soon. It's 6:28. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after news.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
6:36 on a Saturday morning, 65 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, here to tell you and help you be more successful in your landscape by giving you the answers to common garden questions. And the uncommon one is welcome. If you have a weird, basic, strange, odd garden question, give it to me. I talked to people in my trip to Italy who disguise their name, disguise their place. So if you're Lisa from Stockbridge, Debbie from Stockbridge, wherever you are, Rosa, if you want to call me, you can. 404-872-0750. Ron, that's his real name in Dallas. That's his real place. Joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Hey, Walter. How you doing?
Just doing fine. What's up?
Hey, I've got some blueberry bushes that I planted 7-8 years ago. You know, they're good size. They've grown a lot, but the leaves have just never really looked real healthy.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of, you know, dieback, some of the little twigs that you can, you know, snap them off.
Yeah.
And they're just not real good producers.
Huh. Is it in full sun? What kind?
Yeah, they're definitely full sun.
It should be looking pretty good with lots of blueberries on right now. You should be able to see something happening right in this minute.
I see, you know, a lot of blueberries, but for the size of them and as long as they've been in, it's just not. I'm not going to get a gallon by any means.
Yeah, with 5 or 6 years old, you should be getting a gallon or two maybe from.
Yeah, not even close to that.
There's something weird going on with the root system. If it has not really prospered and expanded and looked really good after 5 or 6 years, it's the roots are not expanding like they should. They're not exploring the soil. Something's happening with the root system.
Okay. Yeah. I did just do a soil sample.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that would
tell you something you can do. I have this little rigmarole thing on my website about how to rejuvenate shrubs. The same thing would go for a dogwood or for a blueberry bush, for that matter. You'd mix up planting soil and some milorganite or halitone or something in a wheelbarrow and use it as mulch around the plant and jab a pitchfork into the ground to sort of mix with the upper layer of soil. So if you want to go to my website, just type in the word rejuvenate. That's all you need. Rejuvenate. It'll take you right to the page. It gives you all the how much to mix and how much I think to make it and all that kind of stuff. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if that blueberry were to get some rejuvenation formula on it, because it just sounds like the roots are not doing the job they need to support the top.
Okay. I'll check that out then.
All right. Rejuvenate. Right, WalterReeves.com. Rejuvenate. There you go.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot.
You bet, Ron. Thanks for calling. David's out in Tucker. Been paying attention to the broadcast this morning. Heard me say something earlier this morning about taking all the soil off a tree's roots. Is that what you heard, David?
That is correct. I also heard of you vacuuming a tree's roots.
I did. After I got tired of washing it, get all the spray up in my face, I thought, you know, my shop vac could do a pretty good job taking the dirt off this tree. So I vacuumed it for a while, too.
You sure your neighbors didn't call people about that?
Well, you know, I had it hidden behind the shrubbery, so they couldn't see what I was doing back there. All they heard was spraying and then vacuuming, then spraying and vacuuming. That's all they heard. For listeners who are just joining us, I described earlier in the show this morning planting a tree, and my first thing that I did was to vacuum and to wash all the soil as much as I could off the root system so that I could make it acclimate to its new planting hole a little bit better. That's what David is questioning me about this morning. Yes, my neighbors still hold me in high regard, David. I think they're fine.
Very well. Does that apply to any other plants? And I know people who pretty much do that with perennials, among other things. I just didn't know if, you know, any more knowledge had trickled down about that.
Yeah, and you know, that's a funny way of using the word, but you're exactly right. Knowledge is out there. The research has been ongoing and been done for 15 years, maybe 20 years now, that washing the roots, bare rooting plants, is a good thing to do, whether it's perennials or trees or shrubs or whatever. nobody does it. You never see it on the label when you see how to plant a shrub. It's always dig a hole twice as big as the root ball of the plant and install it, and you know, don't plant it too deep. And the research shows that washing the soil off would be a lot better way to get the plant to rejuvenate and to grow itself more rapidly. And also it gives you a chance to check the root system and make sure it's not all kinked up and wound around inside the pot. And that is a very big problem with trees, ball and burlap trees in particular, that the roots are sometimes hidden way, way down in the ball. And there needs to be lots of soil knocked off at the top of the ball to make sure you know where the roots are and where to position them in the soil.
Okay, well, that's very helpful.
Yeah.
Thing I've been told recently, I was trying to find perennial red salvia, and some of the people in the garden section said, well, we'll get it, but we won't get it until the heat of summer. Is there any validity to that?
I saw it yesterday at the Pike at Toco Hill. It's called pineapple sage, I think is what you're talking about. This red flower, and the leaves, you know, smell like pineapple, but pineapple sage is red-flowered salvia. There's also a hot lip salvia, and there's another name for another red flowered salvia too. They're all red, but I don't know why they'd be that late in the summer getting them. So I saw one at Toco yesterday.
Okay, well, I will check that out.
Yeah. You bet, David. Thanks for calling. We'll see you soon. We got who comes in? Jim's in Marietta. Hey, Jim, morning.
Hi, Walter. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jim. What's up?
I put in Zorcha last year through turf.
Yeah.
And this year, I see discoloration, and it's yellow in some spots. Hmm. And, you know, I got a weed guy. I imagine he put down the fertilizer and the weed control.
All right.
Am I doing something wrong or not doing something?
I can't think of anything. You sure it got fertilized about a week or so ago, maybe when it was nice and green, starting to green up good?
I would imagine so.
Don't be imagining anything, Jim. You should have a receipt that says, "Dear Mr. Jim, we put down this so fertilizer, this so weed killer, this so insecticide," or whatever they did. Don't imagine anything. Sometimes companies may or may not, you know, they imagine okay. That Jim's not going to pay any attention to them, so they don't do what they're supposed to. You
okay.
should be fertilizing. Yes, you should be fertilizing right now when it's nice and greened up. That is the perfect time to fertilize zoysia, and you need to make sure they're doing it that way.
Is there any special fertilizer for Zorcha?
Nah. If it just says turf fertilizer or lawn fertilizer, if the first number on the bag is higher than 20, usually that's going to be a turf lawn fertilizer. No special
Fantastic.
One.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
All right. Check
Thank
them out,
you.
Jim. Make sure you know what they're doing. Make sure they give you a receipt and what they did every time, and you can sort of see and make sure they do what you expect them to do.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll see you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
George is with us. Comes to us from Griffin, Georgia, down in Spalding County. Hey, George, good morning.
How are you today?
Hey, man, I'm all right. What's up?
We got a giant sprawling oak right in front of our house. It's the greatest part of the landscape.
Yeah.
But we want to start something to grow under it. We just bought this house last year.
Yeah.
We really like how hostas look. Will they grow in the shade under that oak?
Yeah, pretty well. They're not going to bloom really good because, you know, hostas, they're shade tolerant, sure, but they got to have some sun at least. And boy, that big old oak tree is not going to give them a lot of sun at all underneath the, towards the trunk, you know, where it's the shadiest part of the tree, drip line. So I would think the hostas would do okay, but they're not going to do beautifully with long, tall, white flowers coming on big, tall stems or anything like that. Except out towards the end of the branches, it might do pretty well there.
Okay.
But hostas is a good choice. I don't mean to discourage you from planting hostas. If you like them, plant them.
Is there a better choice?
Not really. I mean, the hosta is one that I would suggest. If somebody asked me, you know, on the street, said what I plant under something that gives a lot of shade, I'd say hosta, Solomon seal, maybe an azalea, again, the sunnier part of the area under the tree, azaleas. What else would be a good shade-tolerant plant? You get some of the native plants like heuchera, alum root, and foamy bells, what would be a nice shade tolerant? Pachysandra might work pretty well underneath there. It's a it flowers, but you don't really notice the flower on Pachysandra, but it's a pretty good ground cover in the shade. Green and gold, I got some green and gold underneath a pretty densely shaded area underneath a dogwood and a service berry, I think, that I have the green and gold planted under. I know I just reeled off a lot of things there, but if you want a list of plants, good plants for various situations. On my website, I do a whole column of plants for shade, plants for soggy situations, plants for scent, plants for long blooming in the summertime. So if you want to go to my website and just, you know, type a plant list, and it'll give you that whole list of plants that might be useful in the shade for you.
Yes, sir. Well, have a good day.
Well, you know, one more thing, George. I'm thinking about how I would plant underneath an oak tree. And obviously, you're not going to go in there with a shovel and just dig the heck out of the roots, because you don't want to damage the roots of the tree.
Right.
And so what, since we're talking about washing roots, and what I did in one case, I wore my old clothes because it was really messy to do this, but I used a pressure washer. I had a pressure washer and used it to blast out holes that I planted things in. And it seemed to work really well, other than being a real mess to do. And so if you want to use a hose or something to blast out some holes around the roots of the tree and put your hosta in those holes, depends on your tolerance for mess, but it works pretty well. It worked for me.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Good talking to you, George. Thanks for calling. Lee's with us. Hey, Lee, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm all right, Lee. What's up?
Well, I'm actually up early in the morning to take my son to take an SAT test, so I had time to call and ask about this plant. I got it actually at a funeral. It was in a basket, and it's more than one plant, and I think maybe it is a hosta. I don't know. It looked like a lily with a little white.
Yeah, peace lily. Peace lily. That's a common funeral plant. Peace lily, sure.
And then it also has, I always think like a little palm tree, little fern-looking little thing, and it's pretty big. It's like they're all in like a, maybe a foot and a half basket. It's one of those really big baskets. And this was a year ago March, and I just stuck it outside, and it didn't die.
Is that a surprise for you? Sure.
Well, yeah, I usually kill things pretty quick. And then it didn't die, and I maybe watered it once. I just left it under our maple tree.
So what's the question?
Well, what do I do with it now? Because the little it actually still hasn't died. I even took it in some during the winter.
Yeah.
I can't leave it in the basket forever.
So you take them apart. You take a hose, as we've talked this morning, about washing soil off of plant roots. You take a hose and wash as much soil as you can off the plant, so you sort of see which one is which and how the roots entangle themselves with each other, and gently pull them apart, and then put them in two separate pots.
So they need to go back in pots. They aren't outside. You can just
more than likely. My observation is that most funeral plants are grown in greenhouses and are not acclimated for being outdoors in Georgia. Usually they're tropical plants of some sort, like spathiphyllum or the peace lily. That's a tropical plant that will get frozen in the wintertime. If you had a little parlor palm or something like that in the pot that you described as a palm-looking plant, they wouldn't live outside in the wintertime. So most of them, I think, are going to be houseplants for you.
Okay. And then is there any particular kind of potting soil or anything?
Anything that costs more than $3 a bag. If it's $5, $6, $8 a bag, then you're fine. Go to Pike and get some potting soil, and they'll be just fine for you.
And the size of the pot, I have no clue.
If I were potting up, it'd be at least 12 inches in diameter, maybe 14. 12 probably is the right size for you, Lee. I would think a 12-inch wide pot would be fine for most houseplants that you can get from a funeral, if that's where you get your houseplants from. 12-inch wide pot, that's what you do. I got to go, though, Lee. It's 6:48. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves for the lawn and garden advice you need.
Soy un hombre muy honrado que me gusta lo mejor. A mujeres no me falta ni el dinero ni el amor. Jineteando en mi caballo por la sierra yo me voy. Las estrellas y la luna ellas me dicen dónde voy.
And on Cinco de Mayo, a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Today, pretty nice day. Possibility of a stray shower today, but high of 82 degrees, low of around 60 tonight. Mostly sunny tomorrow on Sunday, high of 80 degrees, low of 57. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Robert and Tucker, great, Robert. It's good to hear from you
good
again.
Morning.
Got that report on the fusiform rust. Hey, Robert.
I got it for you. I don't know if you're going to like it or not.
Tell it to me.
All right. Here's what I did. I couldn't get headlights on it because it's like 30 feet up high
right.
in this pine tree. So I use my boat spotlight, which is a very high-intensity light.
Did it glow or not?
At 50 yards, it stands out like a sore thumb.
Ah, how about that?
Okay, but I put I had some luminescent red tape, which I put on the tree.
Yeah.
Stepped back at the same distance, and it glowed more than this in the food form. So I would say, if you're not looking for it, you won't see it. But I could not put my headlights on it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's a flat orange color. So, you know, I would have to say the test was non-conclusive.
Well, I think it's interesting you should come back to me, Robert, because I had never seen fusiform rust on pine trees glow as brightly as maybe you had described it initially, but just having a little bit of brighter glow than else out there is pretty interesting.
If you're looking for it, you'll definitely see it.
Okay.
Because it does stand out, but to be illuminescent, I couldn't see it.
All right. Robert, I do appreciate you have done a great favor to me. If somebody asks me about fusiform rust glowing, I'll be able to quote you every time from now on that somebody asks me about that. I do appreciate you calling. It's 6:58 at News Talk WSB. Back to more Lawn and Garden after news.